Eagles Entertainment.
There ain't anything that moves. I don't care who it is. Let's go. Give me everything you got. Play fast. Play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time. Let's go.
Touchdown.
You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right, other day, and we've been through the tape of an Eagles win as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 490. At the top of today's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I chat with my friend Greg Cosell about what may have been the best throw of Jalen Hurts' season so far. We've got some defensive adjustments to talk about against the Cowboys, and we'll also take stock of each side of the football going into the bye week. So we've got a lot to discuss here with Greg. Before we get to that discussion in Chalk Talk, as always, make sure you head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. You know the spiel by now. We appreciate everybody that has thrown us your support over the course of the last few weeks. If you've got a question about this team, now's the time. Go leave it there. We'll answer it here in this upcoming episode later this week. We will have a third episode of Eagle Eye in the Sky this week, just kind of talking about this team. Ross Tucker will be back. I've got another special guest lined up for that episode. So make sure you listen, stay subscribed. We're going to keep talking Eagles football here going into the bye week. Also, be sure to go check out the All 22 review. I did my five favorite plays from the win over the Dallas Cowboys. That should be up by the time you are listening to this podcast. That'll be up on the Eagles YouTube channel. Went about 12, 13 minutes, I believe. Some of the top plays from this game. That said, let's get into our chat with Greg Cosell. We've got a lot to talk about. It's time now for Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
All right, joining me once again here for Chalk Talk on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, my friend Greg Cosell, to go through an eventful, as I called it the other day, an eventful win for the Eagles here against the Dallas Cowboys. And we can kind of take stock of this team as they go into the bye week in week 10. Greg, I know you spent a handful of hours today watching back this film, but it was a fun one to break down.
Yeah, particularly the Cowboys offense and the Eagles defense. Boy, that took me a long time. I kept thinking, okay, you know, what's funny is I'm sure you felt the same way. You get into the fourth quarter and you see the time start winding down and you think there's only a few more plays left, but there weren't a few more plays left.
I was texting with Ben Fennell as I'm going through and he was asking, you know, just for the different segments we work on for Monday. And he was like, oh, what's the ETA on stuff? So I was like, oh, like I'm just about done the Eagles defense. And then I looked and I'm like, oh man, I've got 2.5 drives left. That's going to be another half hour. Like it's going to take me some more time.
I looked and it's like, okay, I got like 20, 25 plays left. Then I felt like I watched 10 plays and I looked and I felt like I still had 20, 25 plays left.
Yeah.
But it was a fun watch. There was a lot going on that side of the ball. So it was intense, but entertaining.
All right, well, let's start on that side of the ball then, since we're already talking about it. And what I'm thinking for this conversation is that as we talk through this game, we can also kind of take stock of the different positions as the team goes into the bye week, prepares for what is essentially the second half of the season here in 2023. So I guess we're walking away. What was your number one thought walking away after watching the defensive film?
I don't think this was their best game on defense.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know, the pass rush was not what we have seen for most of the season and what we expect. Obviously, within the last 2-3 minutes, it got juiced up, and Graham had some big pass rushes against the right tackle Steele. Sweat had a big one against the right tackle Steele. Carter ended up getting half a sack where he had a really good rush against the left guard Tyler Smith, who, by the way, is a really good football player.
Tyler Smith is really good. To me, like that was one of the highlights for me was watching, and it wasn't like every single down because they were they were sliding protection, they were doing a bunch of different things. Jalen Carter doesn't play every play, but the reps where it was like just straight drop back one on one pass pro between Tyler Smith and Jalen Carter. That was some fun watch because it was wins on both sides, but it was just physical and violent. Like that was a fun study.
You know, I guess my takeaway, and this may be an odd takeaway, but given the fact that I think the Eagles did not play their best game, and clearly due to injuries, do not have a slot corner they probably feel great about at this point, because obviously Brown played snaps, Ricks ended up playing more snaps. I think just because of the way the game played out.
Yeah, he's in the second half.
Corner.
Yep.
Brown's not really a corner. I think given all of that, the fact that the Cowboys only scored 23 points is kind of interesting, because watching the game and the fact that Dak threw, obviously, take away the last play, you know, the fumble down, you know, with the 1 or 2 yard line by Lamb, take that away, and he threw for about 350 plus yards. That's a lot of yards, and, yep, and he had a lot of completions, and yet they only scored 23 points, which I thought was kind of interesting when I finished watching. I felt like that more points should have been scored, and they weren't.
I mean, at the end of the day, they gave up 6 points in the second half. And
I know.
Yeah. And that's been a little bit of a resounding theme over the course of the first half, right? Is that in the second half, the adjustments that they've made defensively and the answers they've had for opposing quarterbacks and the curveballs, we've talked a lot about that over the course of this season so far. And I think that showed up in this game again, you know, in different ways, right?
And thing that really stood out, and then I ended up looking to get the numbers. You probably did the same. You know, we know that Darius Slay is their left corner and James Bradbury is their right corner. That's 98-99% of the time. In this game, Slay played 33 snaps at his usual left corner position, but he played 28 snaps at right corner. And not every time did he match up to Lamb, but he did a lot. And it was the most snaps he played at right corner since the Vikings game week 2, when he obviously matched up to Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
So that I immediately started to notice, particularly in the third quarter. And that's when I, you know, start to look up the numbers. But that was an adjustment that was clearly made. And, you know, you could say that, hey, it panned out. Because like you said, Cowboys only got 6 points in the second half.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think that one of the things I've liked about the defense in the first half is that they're constantly kind of throwing new things to see what's working, right?
Right.
It's not just, you know, one magic bullet answer for like, all right, this is our answer for Justin Jefferson in this game. Hey, we're going to try different coverages. We're going to play different matchups. We're going to do different rotations. And, you know, sometimes CeeDee Lamb, we saw him matched up one-on-one with Reed Blankenship. Sometimes CeeDee Lamb, we saw him matched up one-on-one with Sidney Brown or with Darius Slay or with James Bradbury. We saw all these different matchups. And again, sometimes it was one-on-one man coverage. Sometimes there was help over the top. Sometimes there was a bracket. They had some really successful straight doubles on CeeDee Lamb in this game in some high leverage situations. If I remember right. Certainly the fourth down play, the fourth down coverage.
The fourth
play,
down play. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, where James Bradbury got the PBU along the near sideline. That was a double on CeeDee Lamb between Kevin Byard and Darius Slay. So we saw that throughout the course of the afternoon. And again, to me, the constant change up, I think, is a good quality to have.
Yeah, and I'd say the one thing that stood out probably the last 2 weeks, as we talk a little bit about the season as well, is there has not been very much blitz at all. Many five-man pressures. Now, if they line up in a five-man D-line, which they didn't as much, I thought, in this game as in previous games, but if I don't view a five-man D-line pass rush as a blitz.
Right.
But in this game, they lined up, I think, far more in a four-man D-line, and they only rushed four, and they played a lot of, you know, zone coverage behind it. There were times they played man where they felt like they had to, I'm sure, but they've not really blitzed much at all the last couple of weeks.
I thought, you know, it was just going through my notes, the first couple of drives, they came out in nickel personnel, so with four defensive linemen, two linebackers, and they came out in odd fronts with Zach Cunningham as the edge, with like Josh Sweat kicked inside as a snug alignment. Numerous times on the first two drives, and then they got away from it. We did not see that the rest. So whatever they thought Dallas was going to do, whether coming into the game or against those looks, they clearly were like, all right, this is not happening. Let's chuck that part out of the game plan. And they didn't go back to that. But, you know, to your point, they did not play much straight, like 5-2 base in this game.
No. And your point's correct, is when they did have a five-man front, very often it was Cunningham, who, when he was on the ball, always was aligned to the boundary side of the formation. Yep. But, they did that, maybe only 5-6 times in the game. But, yes, early on, for sure, it appeared to be, you know, again, we don't know the thought process with Sean Desai and staff. Maybe they wanted to show it and then see the reaction. And then they figured, hey, then we're not going to do it anymore. You know, you never know, because we're not in those meetings, exactly what the thought process is for all those kinds of things.
Well, let's talk through the matchups up front in this game in particular, because obviously, look, there's lots of rotation with the defensive line, but it felt like watching, all right, because I think that Dallas's offensive line, they held up very well.
They did
a good job of mixing things up, I thought, Dallas, not to the extent of, say, like Washington last week, but, you know, we saw plenty of the play actions and move the pocket plays and the screens, but they left their offensive line in straight drop back a little bit more than Washington did. And I thought that Tyron Smith looked as good as Tyron Smith has looked going up against Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick on the left side. I thought that both guards, Zach Martin and Tyler Smith, performed very, very well. And between those three guys, Biadasz had his share of losses, and you talked about Terrence Steele and some of the issues he had. But I was really impressed with, you know, Zach Martin, Tyler Smith, and Tyron Smith in this game.
I got to tell you, I thought Tyron Smith, and again, I'm not studying him in detail, you know, every single week, as you're not. But, you know, obviously 3-4 years ago, he was one of the best left tackles in the game week in and week out before injuries, particularly with his back. It's hard to do anything with a bad back. But I thought in this game, man, he recalled the past, because he's going up against one of the best all-around defensive ends in the game in Josh Sweat. And I say that without any qualification at all. Josh Sweat is a great football player. And for the most part, you know, he got the better of that matchup. And I think Josh Sweat would agree with that. So I thought this was Tyron Smith playing as well as I can recall seeing him play in 3-4 years over the course of a whole game.
And just kind of keeping track of like, okay, like when they're in those straight dropbacks, and I didn't chart it, so I don't have like the numbers,
right.
But what it felt like as I was watching and just kind of taking note was that it felt like when, okay, if it's Fletcher Cox and Jalen Carter out there, that they were typically sliding to Jalen Carter, so giving Tyler Smith help,
yes,
leaving Zach Martin one-on-one with Fletcher Cox. And those two guys have gone head-to-head numerous times for years, right? So there's plenty of familiarity there. And then you obviously have the defensive ends outside against the tackles. A lot of chip help. We saw plenty of chip, you know, especially in the 5-step drop, the 7-step drop. But then when Fletcher Cox was out, and Jalen Carter went over to the other side, all right, we're going to slide towards Jalen Carter, and we're going to leave Tyler Smith one-on-one with Milton Williams.
Milton Williams
not as much of a factor in this game. You know, I thought that Tyler Smith got the better of that matchup. And so, it felt like, okay, we're gonna make sure we give Jalen Carter some extra attention. We're going to rely on our vets to be able to handle, to be able to hold up. And that was a working formula for them for much
without
of this
question.
Game until the last few minutes.
Yeah, without question. And you know what? Sometimes that happens. It is the NFL. Those guys are good players.
Yep.
I mean, I think most people would argue that Zach Martin may well be the best all-around guard in the league. Tyler Smith is well on his way to being a really, really fine player. And when Tyron Smith plays like he did on Sunday, you know, that recalls the glory days when he was a top three left tackle in this league.
Yeah, I'm sure there are going to be plenty of some good clips out there of the battles between Jalen Carter and Tyler Smith from this game. And again, only a handful of reps, but go check out. Like, I'm sure like Brandon Thorne will be posting plenty of those.
Oh yeah,
on Twitter.
It was,
so those will be fun. Good watches. If
it was
those,
a lot of fun.
For those who haven't watched all the film, that will be a good one to go back and study. All right, so we've talked about the defensive front. And again, I think overall, I mean, this is clearly one of the best fronts in the league. I don't think we need to dive too deep into that group.
No. It's not like all of a sudden the Eagles have a bad front.
Exactly.
No, they have a great front. Sometimes this happens. It is the NFL. You know, it's hard to be great for 17 straight games at any position or for any one player. This in no way says that the Eagles' defensive front is not a really, really good front.
All right, going to linebacker now. I thought Zach Cunningham popped in this game, not just in playing downhill against the run. He had some nice plays in coverage as well. There was one down the goal line. I thought he played to his help well, in the end line. I think it was a throw to Ferguson down the seam, if I remember right. There are some times where they play especially in these high leverage downs or third down, where, hey, you know, we're going to play basically two man. And Zach Cunningham was matched up on a receiver or against a tight end, and he went for like an aggressive, like two-hand jam, where he just wanted to like really jack up the receiver, and he got slipped by. Where Dak Prescott had the ability to hit that guy,
especially on the fourth down play late in the game, where Prescott did not see that because he first looked to Lamb, who was bracketed, as you would mention, he was bracketed on that fourth down play, and he just, as he looked to the other side and ended up throwing it to Tolbert, obviously, versus Bradbury, he for some reason did not pick up Ferguson, because that might have changed the game, Fran. Ferguson was wide open because Zach missed the jam.
Yeah, there were three or four of those in the second half. So that'll be something to watch. But I think, again, the reason why he's being that aggressive for our listeners, the reason why he's being that aggressive is because in two-man, you've got that
two-man
over top.
Yeah.
You've got that ability to be aggressive. You could take that chance.
Although he was on the side where they bracketed Lamb, so he didn't really have the help right over the top.
No, so there was a risky business there, but certainly worked in the Eagles' favor that way. But that said, what we've seen the last few weeks, and since Nakobe Dean came back into the lineup, has been a rotation. I mean, he and Nicholas Morrow and Zach Cunningham, all three guys, have basically rotated drives. So we've seen plenty of all three, and we're still waiting at this point with Nakobe's injury because I know he left the game at some point. But
he did not play in the second half. He played 21 snaps in the first half. Then I guess he hurt his foot. Correct again.
Correct.
And he did not play any snaps in the second half.
Yeah, so I think when you look at, in terms of what we've seen so far with that linebacker trio, we'll expect more of the same, I think, coming out of the bye.
I don't think Nick Morrow's played bad football, by the way. I know when the season started, he was not really part of the active roster, but, he was forced into duty, and I think he's, for the most part, held his own very, very well.
Yeah, I think, whether it's playing downhill, he had the one rough moment in coverage late on the one third down. I believe it was Ferguson ran a route right in front of him. But outside of that, no, he has been able to show up. And we remember the 3-sack performance against Washington, what he can do as a blitzer. But he has made his bones playing downhill in this scheme for sure.
I just think one area as we go forward and look, this is a time for self-scouting. You know that obviously they're going to get ready for Kansas City. We'll get to that next week in great detail. And obviously it's a huge, huge Monday night game upcoming, but the early part will be self-scouting. That's what teams do, the coaches in particular, obviously. And I think one area they're going to take a hard look at is their third down defense, because as good as this defense has played, their third down numbers defensively have probably not been as strong as they would like.
Yeah, I want to say coming in, I could tell you actually exactly what they were. Coming into this game, they were... as I bide my time here. So coming into this game, they were 25th in the league in third down defense. And it was a tough matchup going against what was the third best third down offense in the league,
right,
with the Cowboys. And surprisingly, they actually like held up decently well on third down of the game, but in some, the ones they gave up were critical. I mean, it was like third and 10, third and 12, third and 8. They scored a couple touchdowns on third down. Like it was like a lot of those tough ones that are just backbreaking for a defense.
Yeah, and I think, it's self-scouting. Every team does it. They're unfortunately closer to the bottom of the league in terms of defensive third down conversion rate, and there's reasons for that. You and I may not know all the reasons, Fran. We're not there. We're not breaking down the film with the coaches. They know exactly what the calls are. They know how they want those things played in terms of leverage, discipline, all those things that go into, playing defense, particularly on the back end. And they'll have an answer for it. But that's something I think they'll look at. But overall, you'd have to say this defense through 9 games has played pretty well.
Yeah, especially considering all the attrition in the secondary and the back seven. What they've had to do. This was the first time this game where they had the same starting secondary from 1 week to the next.
They're still not playing with a 2-slot corner, and they're managing, to get through. Look, they just played a receiver in CeeDee Lamb, who in this game did most of his work from the slot, because they, I'm sure, felt that whether it was Brown or Ricks, that was advantage CeeDee Lamb. He ran 28 routes from the slot with 10 targets, 7 for 133 from the slot. Six of those 7 receptions resulted in first down. So clearly the Cowboys said, hey, whether it's Brown or Ricks, we feel pretty comfortable with CeeDee Lamb in the slot. But at the end of the day, it didn't translate to points.
Yeah. So with both those guys, with Ricks and with Brown, I mean, neither of those guys are slot corners by trade, right? I mean,
no,
Brown,
that's my point.
And Ricks is an outside corner. And so it would stand to reason why they would feel good about that matchup.
No, it's no knock on those guys at all.
Of course.
In fact, I was presenting it as a positive that they were able to hold a team like the Cowboys, because say what you want, Dak Prescott played good football, but they held them to 6 points in the second half with two guys who are really not slot corners.
Yeah. Real quick, just some high leverage moments. So I think there are like breakdownable plays in this game. I thought the most impactful play may have been the failed 2-point play, Greg. And I thought it was a really fun play to break down because what you had was Kevin Byer doing an outstanding job just staying disciplined. It was going to be a play action fake where they were hoping to hit Brandon Cooks on like a crossing route, and had Kevin Byer crash down towards the line of scrimmage on the run fake, Brandon Cooks would have been wide open in the back of the end zone, but he stays disciplined. Dak's forced to hold on to the football and get to his second read. Now the second read was going to be Tolbert coming from the right side to the left in the back of the end zone. Bradbury's on Tolbert. The reason why he can't get there is Jalen Carter's right in his face. So Dak has to break the pocket. And when he breaks the pocket, Tolbert tries to run with him in scramble drill, and Bradbury throws him out of the back of the end zone. Perfectly legal play. Once the quarterback leaves the pocket, the DBs can do whatever they want to the wide receivers from a contact standpoint. So now it's one-on-one. Prescott's got nowhere to go with the football, and BG chasing him down full sprint. And if BG doesn't give that same that maniacal effort in pursuit, Prescott walks into the end zone, but he forces the dive. He forces him to basically step out of bounds, and that's a huge tilting play in this game.
No, obviously it was, because it changed, you know, it changed the way the game was played from that point on.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that becomes critical. You know, yeah, and obviously you can debate whether they should have gone for it on fourth down earlier. You know, that's yep. for Cowboy people to debate. You know, Bill Parcells from the old school, probably not thinking too much about analytics. You know, he was always a believer that you keep your team in the game as long as you can. I'm sure he would have kicked the field goal and made it a one-score game, but obviously the Cowboys didn't do that.
No, that's what, you know, it's funny. Just it felt like they were a little bit more aggressive than normal, just because, you know, knowing that the way Nick Sirianni is going to operate, that they're going to go for it on fourth down and they're always going to try and stay out in the field. So it was interesting to see Dallas kind of try and match that. You know, they go for fourth down a couple of times and unsuccessful in this game. But, that was the one big one.
You talked about the high leverage play. And again, I don't know how it's coached, you know, the 2-point conversion that failed. Yeah. As I was watching that, and again, I could be dead wrong because I don't know how it's coached, but I was surprised Cooks kept running, because he just ran to be covered.
Yep, right.
Like if he had stopped, you know, I mean, if he had just settled, because it's zone, first of all, you know, it's not man, because nobody matched him. So instead of just running to, that was Byard, right? He's running to
Byard on his side. Yep, or on that side.
Yeah, you know, he just ran to Byard. If he had stopped, it would have been an easy throw and an easy 2-point conversion.
Yeah, no.
But again, I don't want to say that I'm right. You know, just watching it, you know, that's you know you always hear coaches talk that if it's zone, you settle into an open area, you don't run to get covered.
Right. Yeah. It was who knows, especially in that area of the field when it is that bang bang, like you know how that's coached. To your point, that's a tough one. All right, so yeah, I think that's enough there from the defensive side. Let's go over to the offensive side. It's funny. So, Greg, I don't think I've even talked to you about this, but you know, unfortunately, I don't get to watch Eagles games with my son, right? So my son's 4 years old.
Right.
Him and my wife, they've got a weekly tradition now. They sit in the same spots and they watch the game. And what's funny, Greg, I cannot take credit for this because we don't watch the games together. So it's not like he watches me do it, but he has taken a notebook. And he starts like scribbling stuff while he's watching the game and watching plays. And he just starts like, he's not writing anything. He's just like writing, you know, pretending to write down notes. And
kind of like what like, we do. Kind of like what we do.
He'll say like, oh, that guy's fast, mommy. So the next day, I usually try and catch up with him and say like, oh, like, all right. It's like, so what did you watch from the game? What did you see from the game last night? And so on Monday morning, I see him in the morning before I come into work. And I say, you know, what did you see from the game last night? And he says, oh, you know, I thought Jalen Hurts was hurt. But then he threw the ball. He said, then he threw it really well, threw it really far and a touchdown. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I was like, you kind of nailed that evaluation.
That's probably the extent of our analysis about right now. So we're good to go.
Just bring him on the pod next week to give his take. But to me, like, you know, this was an outstanding Jalen Hurts game. You said this last week about Washington, that this was a Jalen Hurts game. And it felt that way watching this one as well. Just knowing, you know, dealing with that knee injury and continuing to perform and excel. He made some big time throws in this game. He made some big time scrambles in this game, even after getting, getting hit below the knee late in the second quarter, coming out in the third quarter and running for a first down on third down on the RPO, making that throw to Devontae Smith down the left sideline for a touchdown. An outstanding game from Jalen Hurts.
That was a great throw.
Yeah.
I also thought the 15-yarder on fourth and three was a really good throw, kind of a smash concept.
Yep.
You know, he put it right on Goddard. There wasn't a lot of room on the sideline there. I thought that was really good. You know, one thing I thought stood out, you know, he had a few bad snaps, but I thought in pass protection, Tyler Steen did a good job overall.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought he was better in pass pro than he was in the run game. I agree.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, obviously Parsons with his explosive lateral quickness got him a couple of times.
Yeah.
I think Lawrence or Armstrong, I forget who it was, got him one time. But for the most part, you know, they left him one-on-one a lot because Parsons ended up being on the other side a number of times. So obviously they slid Kelce to Parsons, which is obviously smart. But I thought that overall, when he was left one-on-one, you know, number of times with Hankins, number of times, I'm trying to remember who else, but I thought he did a really, really good Golson, I think it was a couple of times. I thought he did a really good job.
I'm trying to find, there was a one of the third down completions, or one of the third down completions early. Here it is. So the Dallas came out in a five man and a diamond front. It was one of the ones where Parsons just beat Steen really fast. It was the completion to AJ Brown. So it was a 12 yarder. They were running double slant.
It was a 12 yarder, I think, on like second and 15, as I recall.
I believe it, this one was third. It was third and 13.
Third and 15.
Yeah.
And wasn't it the play before he had Goddard for the first? Yeah.
So he hit, so it was second and 23. He hit AJ for 8 yards. That brought up third and 15. And that's when he hit. So he hit AJ Brown for a 12 yard slant. That brought up fourth and 3. That's when he hit Goddard for
that's
the
when he hit Goddard, for,
yeah,
correct.
For the 15 yarder. But that play to AJ, Jalen's getting ready to take a shot and he puts the ball right on AJ on the on the inbreaker. And it was a great route by Goddard as well, occupying that inside defender. He had a mandatory inside release and was able to make sure he took that defender away to open up the passing lane for AJ. But there was a lot to let. And actually, the one play I would love to get your thoughts on as well. First half, third down completion. I believe it was third and 19 yards to Devontae Smith. It was like a deep crossing route. That I think was my favorite Jalen Hurts play of the day. And it was honestly because it came out in a situation that you and I talked so much about last week with this Dallas defense and all the pressure they put on you. And hey, it's third and long. They come out, they're going to play dime. It's single high man coverage. That's the identity. And they threw a little bit something different at Jalen and he was ready for it.
No, as you say, I mean, the key thing with Dallas is you kind of feel to some extent like you know what you're going to get because they play a lot of man coverage. They like to play a lot of press. So sometimes when they change up, it's, you know, they show you a disguise. It ends up being a disguise and a late rotation. And that's what happened on that play. I mean, what you end up having was they showed single high with man coverage. And as I recall, it was a 3-by-1 set. AJ Brown was a reduced split boundary X, and they had trips to the field. And it looked like it was going to be man. So in that situation, you know, any coach would tell you your best receiver, one-on-one, single high safety is not going to get there if you work outside the numbers.
Yep.
And that's probably what the initial thought process was for Jalen Hurts. But then just as the ball snapped, what happens is they rotate. And they rotate to cover two, but they rotate in a way that is a little different because they had Lewis, who I believe was the point man in the bunch, correct?
No, I think Lewis was, I think, playing like the inside man of the bunch. It was 26. Okay,
but he was,
26 was the point man of the bunch.
Right, but he was lined up in the bunch.
Yep, yeah, he was lined up in the bunch.
Right, he became the middle hole defender, and he just started retreating. I mean, he had to get his you-know-what back there because he's the middle hole defender.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, everything changes for Jalen Hurts. But here was the concept that they ran. Brown still released outside because he was going to work vertically and he released outside, which became a really important part of the play, even though he didn't know it was going to be disguised in late rotation. Because what the route concept was in the middle was kind of a high-low with Smith and Goddard. Goddard ran the shallow as the low route. Smith ran the intermediate crosser as the high route. And the reason the Brown outside release was so important is that expands Stephon Gilmore, who is now a cover two corner. So what happens is he expands a bit. And then because he's cover two and he's responsible for the flat, is his eyes then go back inside and he sees Goddard because he doesn't see Smith. Because don't forget, Smith had a vertical release before he ran his crosser. So now space is created in this cover two for Smith. And don't forget, all this is happening in about a second,
exactly.
You know, and which, it, you know, it's taking us time to explain it, but all this is happening in about a second. And that's the amount of time Jalen Hurts has to process this all. And he did such a good job and he put it right on Smith for 19 yards on third and 9 for a first down.
It was one of my maybe like three favorite Jalen Hurts plays of the year. I thought it was just such a big time play. You mentioned the trouble with the way that they disguised it. And even like, I think it was the first third down of the game, Dallas did a true cover one double on AJ Brown with a safety in a corner. And so you could even say, like, okay, when he sees Malik Hooker widen at the snap and that it's not going to be cover one, that it's actually, oh, it's a, no, the safety shadowing over to that
side.
Right. You can easily say, like, all right, you can, and you can even watch his eyes go to the middle of the field, because now he's like, okay, is this one double? Is this still man to man coverage with everybody else? Or is this going to be a split safety zone? And when he sees the rest of the rotation, they're like, all right, split safety zone. Well, now I, where are right. my answers? Awesome stuff.
Third down of the game in which they kind of showed two man, yep. and then they had safety Wilson rotating over the top of Brown, who on that play was number one to trips. But they clearly were showing that this might be a day where they're going to have some kind of double bracket over the top coverage on AJ Brown.
Yeah, a bunch of funky rotations from Dallas in this game, you know, where they rotated to cover two or got to, they played some cover three, they played some quarters. They did a lot of different things in this game. Again, just trying to throw Jalen Hurts off their scent. But I thought Jalen played very well throughout the majority of this game. And again, you're always going to miss throws. You know, we talked about Dak Prescott missing throws as well. There's going to be some plays you'd like to have back. But I think overall, a really good performance from Jalen. We saw the touchdown to Devontae Smith. He was able to have a big day receiving. Dallas Goedert injury. This is something we talked about last week.
And by the way, one of my favorite plays, which they've run 1,000 times, and it was basically the Brown touchdown a couple of plays later, was the exact same play, just gotten to a little bit differently.
Which also was the same play, you know, the same action as the final offensive play where A.J. Brown and DeAndre Swift collide in the backfield. Like, it looked like it was the same kind of feel, except the ball was being handed off to DeAndre instead of being thrown into the flat.
It was such a shame for Goddard. You know, that I think I broke down that play a couple of years ago. They did something very similar. Yep. Was it 2 years ago against Detroit?
Yes, 2 years in the opener. 2 years ago in the opener against Detroit.
And they ran a very, very similar. It was, I think Goddard, though, happened to be on the same side.
Oh, no, that was last year. That was last year. It was 2022 in the opener against Detroit. Man,
it was last year.
It feels like forever ago. It's the opener against Detroit last year.
It was essentially the same play.
Yes. Exactly right. Yeah. It's an iteration of an RPO that they run a lot of.
I love that play. It's beautiful. And, you know, and then, as we said, the Brown 4-yard touchdown, it was the same concept. You know, that one was pistol, whereas the Goddard was not pistol. But, I mean, it was basically the same general concept.
I do wonder, you know, because obviously the AJ touchdown happened after the Goddard injury. I wonder if it's like, okay, this is a concept that we've got dialed up into the playbook. It probably is too much, especially mid drive, to say like, okay, we're going to run this play, but AJ is going to be in this spot instead of Dallas. I know that you can make those kind of adjustments on the sideline, on the bench during
I'm sure they've worked on that. You know, a lot of those plays, as you know, Fran, can be run with guys in different positions. You know that.
That's why I do wonder if it's like, okay, this is how it's going to be it's the same play, but we're going to put AJ in that spot.
On that play, the touchdown, Smith was wide open in the back of the end zone. I believe we've seen the ball thrown to Smith.
Definitely have.
Over the last couple of years.
I believe if I remember right, it was in the home game against Dallas last year where he was open for a touchdown.
Could be right. As soon as I saw that play and I saw Smith kind of leak through, because he was on the same side that Brown worked, you know, into the flat, I said, I know I know I've seen this play where Smith caught the ball.
I'm pretty sure it was the Dallas. That's funny you said that. I'm pretty sure it was the Dallas home game last year. So the one midseason where Dak didn't play, where it was Cooper Rush. I believe in that game, you saw Devontae Smith catch a touchdown on that concept. That's interesting. Yeah, the same play. Yeah. And they went to the flat on that one. This pass game has been extremely explosive. We've talked about Jalen. We know what they've got with that 1-2 punch. Missing Goddard, though, for the, you know, we'll see how many weeks it is and if he goes on injury reserve or not.
I guess he will with a broken forearm. I mean, that's not a 2-week injury.
Right. So, you know, Nick Sirianni talked about today. They do expect to have him back by the end of the regular season. But look, that is a big loss, you know, for this offense. You know, he does a lot for them. It's such a multidimensional player.
Plus, you can say what you want about whether he should get more targets, whatever. The fact is, when opposing teams prepare to play the Eagles, they know Dallas Goedert's a top 5 tight end in the league. No team goes in and says, they're not throwing in a lot to Dallas Goedert, so we can forget about him. There's no way a team ever thinks like that. You know, somebody asked me the other day, well, Jalen Hurts is, you know, knee is not in great shape, so you think the Cowboys are not going to worry about him running? And I'm thinking to myself, what are you, out of your mind? You know, there's no way teams think like that.
No, I mean, certainly the like there are elements where it's like, okay, you don't expect the same amount of volume, but I mean, if it's third and five. You tell Jalen he's not running.
Well, by the way, they spied him right from the first possession.
That's
you
right.
saw that. They yep. spied him once with Armstrong, once with Clark throughout yep. the game. Clark spied him a number of times. So, you know, they clearly were concerned about Jalen Hurts running with the ball, even after he hurt his knee at the end of the first half. Re-hurt his knee, I guess.
Right.
But, yeah, Goddard's a big loss. I know he hasn't had the target share this year that he had last year, but he's still a really good player. And, you know, they'll survive it. You know, they'll survive it. I guess at some point we're going to see Albert O.
Well, or that I was going to say also, you know, a guy that I feel like could get an uptick in targets could be Julio Jones, you know, a guy that they bought in a few weeks ago,
yeah.
You know, caught a touchdown last week against Washington. And it wouldn't shock me if we saw him start instead of being in the like 1 to 2 targeted game category, like maybe he gets into the 4, 5, 6 targeted game category.
I mean, he played 19 snaps this week. I don't recall him being targeted. Was he targeted
in this game? I do not believe so.
I don't believe he was targeted. In this
no.
game.
No, he was used as a blocker, point of attack numerous times.
I thought there was one play where he could have, again, it goes back to concepts. They played Houston a year ago, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, do you remember A.J. Brown caught a touchdown against Houston where he ran kind of an over crosser?
Yep.
Jones ran that exact same route. Essentially, his concept was very similar, and he was open. And that was one of the plays where Jalen happened to leave the pocket a touch early, and it could have been thrown to him, but it wasn't, and it might have been a touchdown.
I actually didn't take note of that one. Oh, okay. All right, I'll have to go back and try and find that one.
It was a very similar concept to that Brown, which, by the way, was a very similar concept just against man coverage that Watkins caught for a touchdown against Indy last year. That was man coverage.
Right.
You know, it's all pass games, all concepts. We know that. I mean, it's who runs them and how you get to them.
There's only so many ways that you can use the five eligible receivers for it to make sense from a spacing standpoint. So,
you're correct. Because it is a confined space field, you know? Yes. So, you know, there's only a certain number of things you can do.
I'm sure you get the same questions that I get, and it's and I'm interested to get your thoughts on this answer as we're now, you know, because we've been talking about the Eagles run game for the last few weeks and how it hasn't had quite the same punch.
Yeah. I don't have a great answer. What's your answer?
Well, so that's here's my, because you know how like there are some times where, you know, you get asked a question about, you know, some topic in a game, and it's like, oh, well, you know, yes, here's the one answer. It's very clear, and this is
That's
it.
That's never the case in football.
Yeah, it's very rarely the case.
Was it the first or second run by Swift of the game where they're pulling both Steen and Johnson, and Steen trips, and then Johnson trips over him and falls down, and then Swift falls over Johnson. Wasn't that like one of the first or second plays of the game?
It was the second play of the game.
I mean,
second and four, they go for -1.
Yeah, so what do you say? I mean,
right. and that's what, like, it feels like when, you know, go through my notes, and it's like, okay, you know, they ran, they're at the running counter here, and, you know, you wish the kickout block was a little bit better, or, oh, they're going inside, all right, here we go, inside zone, and, oh, the backside guard was a little bit late getting up to the second level.
Right.
What I mean? Like, it's plays like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start looking at every single play. I mean, it's not, there's not just one answer that's an over, you know, everybody wants a sexy answer. And there's usually not in football, because the bottom line is there's 22 moving parts on every single play.
Yeah. I think that certainly areas where they, you know, can get cleaned up. I think when you look at some of the issues that they've had with like busted assignments and things like that, it seems like more of them are happening on some of these the gap concepts with pulling guards and pulling linemen, where there are just some, you know, missed assignments or just, you know, poorly executed plays. And it doesn't mean like scrap that entire section of the playbook, because that's been a very effective part of the playbook.
No, and by the way, that's something else they'll work on in this bye week. They'll work on, you know, getting that all tidied up, so to speak, you know, that's what happens, you know. But that the good thing about the Eagles, and we've talked about this every week, but it's worth repeating because I think it's so critical to why they're 8-1 and a really good football team, arguably the best in the league, is they can win on offense multiple ways.
Yep.
I think that's so, I mean, don't forget, this was not a game where Jalen Hurts threw 40 balls. Didn't he only throw 23 balls, something like that?
Something like that. I've got the numbers in front of me.
I think he was 17 for 23, if memory serves me correctly. You know, I looked earlier when I was watching the tape, but I think he was 17 for 23.
Yeah, 17 to 23, 207, 2 touchdowns. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the week prior, which they clearly made a Jalen Hurts game as far as throwing, he was 28 for 39 against the Commanders. So obviously that's a lot less thrown balls. you know, but the other thing that the Eagles are really, really good at, and there's many reasons for this, of which Hurts may be the main reason, is their 50% third down conversion rate, which is tied for the Bills, with the Bills for the best in the league. And that's where you have to factor in Hurts running both by design and second reaction, because he has the most third down runs by a wide margin. Mm. And they're not all, you know, the brotherly shove, obviously.
Right, so, right.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to factor that into the equation. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is I don't want to say the Eagles are changing football, because no one changes football in that sense. But they are clearly a team that when they cross the 50-yard line, they are going to go for it on fourth down. I mean, unless it's fourth and nine, or, you know.
And sometimes they don't need to be cross midfield, as we saw this game, right?
Right, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the brotherly shove play, which they'll do anywhere on the field. I'm talking about if it's fourth and three or four, which is too far for the shove, but it requires a play. But they will go for it. I mean, they're a four down team when they cross the 50-yard line. And as a defense, you have to be prepared for that.
And that's the thing, is that you are, as an offense, you're approaching this where it's not, you know, for 31 teams in the NFL, you have three downs to gain 10 yards. And for the Eagles, they have four tries to get 9 yards, right? You essentially, right. Because if you get into under 2 yards, if you get to fourth and two, they're going to go for it. They're going to go for the shove. And, right. And for a lot of teams.
But
like,
even the Goddard play on fourth and three.
Fourth and
three.
Yep.
It's fourth and three. That's too far for the shove, but they're going for that.
They're going for it. And it wasn't a wide receiver screen. It wasn't a shallow cross. That was a corner route. They threw 15 yards on the dot for a first down.
No, I mean, they're going to go for those things. And so their offense is just a little different, and you have to be prepared to defend that. You know, it's I mean, that was on the first possession too. So right away on the first possession, it's fourth and three. I can't remember exactly where the ball was, but it was not, you know, inside the 20 or anything, you know. So they're going to go for it. And that changes the whole dynamic of their offense. And it changes the dynamic of how you have to prepare and play as a defense.
If my math is right, it was from the 34-yard line.
I think you're probably right.
I'm doing the
You know what? It was definitely in field goal range. Because I said to one of my guys on the matchup show, I said 99% of the teams in the NFL would have kicked a field goal there.
Oh, 27-30. Actually, 27-yard line. It was at the 27-yard line where they went for it on fourth.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Right? I mean, wouldn't pretty much every team have kicked a field goal there?
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah. It was the next play where Kenny Gainwell ran in 12 yards. For the touchdown, which
that was a nice run.
And speaking of, like, that was a perfectly executed run play.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you view that as an outside zone concept? I mean, Kelsey folded behind Steen. I still would put that in the outside zone category, because I think you do that to get better second level angles.
Yeah, I have put it with the inside zones.
All right, I mean,
but the way I look at it, I look at it as a
zone category.
Yeah, I look at it as a zone run. Yes, I do look at it as a zone run adjustment.
I think they do that so they get better angles at the second level.
Yep, it's a way of surfacing the block where it's okay. Rather than at the end of the day, essentially, it's okay. Center and right guard, Jason Kelsey and Tyler Steen, you are responsible for the three technique and the play side linebacker.
What's the best way we can do that?
What's the best way we can do it with the tools we've got at our disposal? We've got Tyler Steen. He's going to block down, and we've got a future Hall of Fame center who's going to pull up to the play side and get him.
I still see that as a zone run, even though Kelsey is folding, pulling, whatever term you want to use.
Yep. No, it's a perfectly executed play. Great kick out block from Lane Johnson there.
Yep.
And you also, like, you had five guys on the backside. The Eagles decided not to block, and they're standing still because you're worried about they ran bubble action with Dallas Goedert. You have to respect the tight end screen. I mean, you have to respect Jalen Hurts' legs. So it's a lot of elements to that play.
No, there's a ton. But so anyway, just to get back to the point, they can beat you a lot of different ways.
Yep.
And they're a fun offense to watch because of that. And, you know, and I think Jalen Hurts, you know, continues to grow as a quarterback. You know, like a lot of quarterbacks in the league who are really good quarterbacks, Mahomes, Josh Allen, there's always going to be a couple of plays where Jalen leaves the pocket prematurely, but so does Mahomes, so does Josh Allen, you know, so does certain guys who are really good players. And you know what? That's in their DNA. That's who they are. But they also make great throws. I mean, Jalen, the touchdown to Devonta Smith, big time throw. I mean, you couldn't have handed it to him any better.
Right. It was outstanding. And especially, again, coming off the him tweaking that knee at the end of the second.
And I love your point about that third and nine play to Smith, because that's the kind of play that shows how the mental and the physical have to go together in the space of 2 seconds. And I don't think people realize how hard that is.
Yeah, with, you know, Michael Parsons wins faster than any player in the league. Knowing, right, like, at any point, like, he's going to be in your lap, you know, or worse.
And he showed, and there was a play where he showed great patience in the pocket.
Yes.
Because that didn't happen like that. He had to wait. You know, don't forget, Devonta had to get across the field.
Yep. It was honestly, like, I might say it was my favorite throw from Jalen Hurts this year. Like, it might have been if I had to stack them all up.
Matchup show against the Chiefs, because the Chiefs do a lot of disguise in late rotation, by the way. You may not have studied them yet, but I've got
a little bit. Yep.
You know, they do a lot of disguise in late rotation. That's a Steve Spagnuolo special. And, you know, so, yeah.
That'll be a good breakdown play we can check out for sure. Well, Greg, thanks so much for joining us once again here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. We'll be back to get ready for Eagles Chiefs next week. Eagles fans, Election Day is Tuesday, November 7th. Create a plan to vote this Election Day and let your voice be heard. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote to learn more. All right, great stuff there from Greg. Thanks to him, and thanks to all of you out there for your continued support of this show and all the rest of our X's and O's content here with Eagles Entertainment. That being said, I think that'll do it. Another show in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. For everybody here at the NovaCare Complex, I am Fran Duffy. We will talk to you later this week.